this year like last year. The best is right here on CBS. This year like last year. The best is right here on CBS.
This is CBS, where you'll play Sing It Again for large cash prizes Saturdays on the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Milton.
Hi.
Could you turn that down just a little bit?
Well, I was told that I could listen to the radio at a reasonable volume from 9 to 11.
Yeah, no, I know you're allowed to. I was just thinking maybe like a, you know, personal favor.
Well, I told Bill that if Sandra's going to listen to her headphones while she's falling, then I should be able to listen to the radio while I'm collating. Uh-huh. So I don't see why
okay.
I should have to turn down the radio because
yeah, all right, okay.
I enjoy listening at a reasonable volume.
Thanks.
That's right. Welcome, everybody. Joe Radio. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Artinger, with you on this. It is March 8th, 2008, Saturday night. Welcome to the show. And if Sandra can listen to her headphones while she's filing, then you can listen to your radio at a reasonable volume between 9 and 11 while you're collating. Oh, welcome back. I say that to myself. My goodness. What a great week in the Mid-Atlantic, huh? Started out about in the 70s, and I was sick, and it ended up in 40s and windy and rainy, and I'm still sick. I almost didn't think I was going to make it here tonight, honestly. I mean, I felt like I was dying yesterday. I went into the Safeway, and I sneezed so many times in a row that I had to just go right back out the door so people wouldn't think I was having some sort of palsy or some sort of seizure. So I bought a case of beer and a pizza, and I drank the case of beer and I ate the pizza last night trying to chase this thing away. And it seems to have worked reasonably. Anyway, I got a great show. That's why I came in. I have such a great show tonight. I mean, I can't, you know, let my fellow Joe Americans down now, can I? And tonight, my guest is Alec Rawls. He has written a book. And I don't have the title of the book, but I'll find it for you in the next break. Anyway, he has written a book about Flight 93 controversy. I was going to say conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy today. It's a controversy over the memorial for Flight 93 out in Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Apparently, it looks like an Islamic crescent. And if you Google the Flight 93 memorial, you will indeed see it. And you'll go to Alec's website. And I'm sorry I'm not terribly prepared tonight. I mean, I just barely made it in. Slept all day trying to get rid of this cold. But we will have him on at 10 o'clock, and you're going to find this very interesting. I stumbled on it last week. After Joe Radio last Saturday, I was mulling around on Sunday trying to figure out where I wanted to go this weekend. And farting around on the web and came across it, and I could not believe it. The Islamic Crescent is, you know, you're familiar with it. You may not think you are, but you are familiar with it. It's that moon shaped crescent that are on some of the flags out there. When I say out there, that sounds so stupid. I am stupid. I'm stupid on Alka-Seltzer Cold Plus tonight. But the Islamic crescent is seen on many flags in the Middle East, or it's a symbol of Mecca. And apparently this memorial does not only look like an Islamic crescent, but it's pointed towards Mecca. So 10 o'clock, we'll go to Alec. He's the expert on all this, and I think you're going to be rather interested in what you find. Anyway, see, I'm not even going to... normally, I could turn off the mic and cough. I'm just going to cough tonight. I'm sharing it with you all. You're all going to catch a cold through the radio, courtesy of myself, because I'm tired of it. This has got to be the worst time of year to live in the Mid-Atlantic. And I love Virginia. I've lived here all my life. I sincerely love the area. But I don't love it during February and March. I can't handle it. Can't have it. Just can't have it. So, anyway, we will move on from there. This week, I've got more than that to talk to you about. You know, don't forget, you can call me 800-636-1067. You can call me right now if you want. Let me know if you know about this controversy with the Flight 93 Memorial. Let me know how you're doing. When I walk my dogs every day, or almost every day, weather permitting, I would like the weather to permit me to go out for a nice walk with my dogs. I notice that there's no less than a dozen houses that are sitting empty within a mile of my house. And that's because the economy took another nosedive this week. Are we surprised altogether now? No, Joe, we are not surprised. The economy is in the tank. Dow Jones fell like 300 points this week, maybe 400. It was below 12 right before it closed. I don't know if it closed above 12. But you can call me about that, 800-636-1067. Don't forget, you can email me at joeradio1067@aol.com. And you can visit my MySpace page, man, which is Joe Radio 1067. And that's what I was getting to. I want to shout out, there's some new fellow Joe Americans out there. Shout out to Josh, Kyle, Brian, Hefe. That would be Hefe from Hefe's Hideout before Joe Radio on Saturdays. The Civilian, The Todd, Mike the Podcaster, Niv, David D, Amber Eve, and Uncle Slam. Uncle Slam from the new Nationals Stadium. It's from the Nationals baseball team. He's the mascot guy. He's a baseball with the Uncle Sam hat on and red, white, and blue outfit. Pretty original. I'm mocking. See, I'm so down because I'm sick that I'm mocking a Major League Baseball mascot. Oh, what a sour guy. Come on, I gotta get up. I gotta wake up. So anyway, welcome to you all, and I want to shout out to some friends of mine. Now, you think, I know what you say. You say, Joe, you are crazy to come in and do a radio show when you're sick. And maybe I am, but not as crazy as some of my friends. Because my wife and I were invited to, get this, a hot tub party. And it's 40 degrees, and the wind's gusting at 50 miles an hour. And quite honestly, if I wasn't in the condition I was in, I would head out there after the show tonight. But I would not get in the hot tub in March. Not going to do it. Because this is the time of year in this area where you have to preserve yourself like a cockroach in amber. You ever see those? Cockroaches get stuck in amber, and they're preserved for 100 million years. You have to drink your orange juice, you have to take your vitamins, you have to do whatever it takes to get through this time of year healthy. And jumping in a hot tub tonight is not my idea of healthy, but I want to shout out to all you cats. We miss you. We will catch up with you when it gets a little warmer. So, and I know they're listening, so go ahead, get in the hot tub, but I don't want to hear it on Monday or Tuesday if you're, you know, sounding like me. And speaking of sounding like me, my wife does sound like me because now she's got it. So I want to apologize to her. It's just one more reason for her to get upset at me, don't you know? And you married guys know what I'm talking about. So I'm just going to be unprofessional tonight. But we're going to get through this together. I promise you that. Got a great show. And we're going to start off here with, I saw an old video on YouTube of President Bush, George W. Bush, taking the oath of office. And I thought about printing it out, and I thought about playing it. And I might sometime, because he's still our president for, what is it, 6 more months? Oh, God, 6 more months of this. But I notice, you know, when you take the oath of office as the president, you have to say, you have to promise to defend the country and, you know, and then a myriad of things. But basically, you have to protect the country. And like a Boy Scout who goes camping, you have to leave the country pretty much as you found it when you leave it. But I don't think that's the case. And I know there's a good argument for impeachment against both the president and the vice president. But we know that the Democrats that we elected to office a little over a year ago, are too sissified to take him up on it. And we know, I know you, like myself, are pretty angry at the way things are going in our country, because it just seems like it's constantly getting worse. We've got, excuse me, we've got, for instance, well, we've got, I'm just going through my notes here, bear with me, and we could start, well, we could start with the war. Nobody is really up on the war. I would prefer to have our troops home tomorrow. If I was president of the United States of Joe America, I would indeed have them home tomorrow. I'd pretty much just tell the Middle East, I'd tell the Iraqis, I'd say, well, we tried, but you guys don't really want what we're trying to bring you. So we're out of here. So take care. Good luck to you. And as I go through my notes here, where is what I'm looking for? Nice voice I have tonight, by the way. Well, oh, okay, it's right in front of my face. It must be all that Alka-Seltzer Cold Plus is fogging my vision. Do you know the war has basically cost, not hundreds of billions of dollars, but it, by when all is said and done, and nothing's all said and done as far as the war is concerned, it's going to cost $2 trillion, maybe even $3 trillion. And I would say that even if the war wrapped up at, if we just said, well, $2 trillion, you're out of gas, you know, come on home, we still, a lot of people don't realize, and they don't think about this, but they don't realize that there are going to be other costs involved when our soldiers come home. You can't just go to another foreign country and start shooting and killing people and not have it have repercussions later on in your life. Now, this is a pretty serious topic for Saturday night, but, and I don't apologize, because when I was given these 2 hours, you know, I would love to do, you know, a goofy radio show. I work for the Don and Mike show. In fact, I live the goofy radio show 5 days a week. But one thing that I've always wanted to do, and my brother has a hand in this as well, is, you know, my brother and I, when we're drunk dialing, call each other, and we rant and rant and rant about the country, rant about how people like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, they don't tell you everything. They are gung-ho, rah-rah, support the troops. That's fine. I do support the troops. I support them so much, I would bring them home right now and start healing their wounds, because you're going to have a large section of the population returning with problems that arise from being in a constant stressful environment for a year and a half. Now, I know this isn't exactly headline-breaking news, but I don't think people think about it enough. $2 trillion for this war, and maybe $3 trillion once we get done, I don't know, taking care of these people that we've hurt, and I'm talking about our own Americans. And there's a lot that could be bought. You know, I read somewhere, I didn't write it down in my notes, I thought it was here, but I remembered it. $2 trillion, $3 trillion, that's like $50,000 for each American. $50,000 in cost for each of us. I don't have 50 grand. I don't know where they're going to get the money for this. I know they tax my wife and I quite a bit on what we make. We don't make enough money, you know, to reach that echelon, you know, where you get your tax breaks and stuff. We make just below it. And then we get hammered by the tax man. That's fine, because, God, I'm a mess tonight. I'm regaling in my messdom. If you feel like I do, if you have this killer cold, 800-636-1067. Anyway, where was I? I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, taxes. Anyway, I don't have a problem paying my taxes. I could go on for an hour and tell you about how I spent a good deal of my life not paying taxes, doing everything I could to avoid it because I was against it. I was young. It's like the John Cougar Mellencamp song. I fight authority and authority always wins. Well, they did. And I have my reasons. I suspect I understand why the government won against me and finally got the money that they were duly deserved, I guess. But there was a time in the 80s when the youth of America, and I say youth, the 20-year-olds going into their 30s, this was before Generation X and Generation Y, and all. We didn't have a label. because we were getting things done. There was an active move to really reform the tax system in this country. But what happens is when you're young, you've got the strength to do these kind of things. You can make an inordinate amount of money like I was when I was 20-something, and you can skirt, and you can say, I'm not paying those taxes. Taxes are too high, because they were back then. They were worse than they are now. But eventually, you have to grow up. You know, you get married, have kids, buy houses, buy cars, you get a good career going, and you can't take the chances that you can when you were younger. And I wish we had that today, but today we have, you know, every kid has a cell phone and a Sony PlayStation and the computers. So there's so many distractions, they don't really realize what they're in for. So $50,000, $60,000 for each American for this war. That's a lot of money. And we don't have that money right now. The economy is losing ground. President Bush says it'll get better. Why should we believe him? He hasn't given us any reason to believe anything he says. And frankly, I think he's just lying now. I don't think he, Cheney, any of them, I don't think they give a damn what we think, because their behavior over the past 7 years has certainly led me to believe that they don't give a damn what we think. And quite honestly, I don't think my congressman gives a damn what I think. I know my senator doesn't, because I elected him and now he doesn't do anything. I elected a Democrat. I'm from Fairfax. We don't elect Democrats into office. You'd be kidding me. And now I feel like a dope. Because they said they were going to end the war. Well, they didn't. They said they were going to hold Bush's feet to the flames as far as this torture and stuff. Well, they're not. They're just not. So, hey, I may be sick, but I can still be pissed. So, and you know, $50,000, $60,000 per American for this war. Do you realize, and here's where things are really starting to break down. I came across some news. It was a story about independent truckers. Now, I know the first thing you think of when you think of truckers, you think about those guys on the Beltway that really, you know, they can piss you off sometimes, but you got to share the road with the truckers. You ever see those bumper stickers, share the road with a bicyclist? I hate bicyclists that drive down the road on their bikes. That's what sidewalks are for, you ninnies. So anyway, independent truckers are really feeling the pinch now. These are the independents, not the big companies. But these are guys who decided to be truckers. You know, Don Geronimo's brother is one. And these are guys that buy their own trucks, and they have a network of picking up things and dropping things off, and hopefully on a good day they are able to pick up something in another state where they just drop something off. But when you think about it, they have to pay all their own bills. Independent truckers are feeling the pinch rather than the crunch these days. You know, they're feeling the pinch or rather the crunch these days economically. The cost of diesel fuel has doubled over the last 4 years. And a trucker clearing $50,000 before is lucky to get like $11,000 now. Well, how do you live? And a lot of these guys, you know, if you're making 50 grand a year and most of your income is generated by your truck and you're out on the road, a lot of that comes back to you. You know, you don't end up paying a lot of taxes, especially if you're incorporated. You pay your fair share, but you know, a lot of these guys are out in the Midwest. Things are much cheaper. You can have your three kids, your wife, your house, maybe a swimming pool, you know, a dish TV, all that good stuff. But at $11,000, what can you do? And, you know, when you live out in those parts of America, your kids have to have winter clothes, summer clothes, spring clothes, boots, you know, everything. And not to mention your truck. Your truck has to have tires, has to have gas. Now, the reason this isn't hitting larger trucking firms is because they buy their gas and their trucks in bulk. They can buy just gallons and gallons and gallons of diesel, okay? and they can buy it when it's cheap and have it for a long time. And especially when you're buying that much diesel, I mean, it's going to be cheaper anyway. So they can fuel their trucks that way. Independent truckers make up about 9%. So we're talking about 10% of about 3 million plus truckers in the country. So this is where little things in the economy are going to start to affect you. Because what happens when these guys aren't on the roads? Well, it costs more to ship things across the country. And that comes right back to you at Target or Walmart. They can't give you the lowest price if they have to pay higher prices to get it to you. That's obvious. These are obvious things. I have to wonder, you know, as I read about these guys, they're thinking about striking. If they strike, that'd be pretty good for them, 10%. And that's a considerable amount. And if you don't think 10% is a considerable amount of trucking, just take out a dollar and imagine 10 cents just disappearing. Oh, I forgot. Our dollar isn't worth a dollar anymore. It's worth like 50 cents. Oops. But anyway, just think about it. Think 10% of anything. How about 10% of your food for your kids? 10% of your budget for your kids' books to go to school? 10% of your budget so your kids can't go to private school? You know, 10% is 10%. A dime is a dime. The truckers are thinking, well, that they'd like to go on strike. Might be too late, though. And then when you factor in that our government is allowing, through the NAFTA treaty, Mexican truckers to truck stuff up from Mexico from the factories and stuff that are manufacturing our cheap TVs and, well, you know, not TVs, but everything else but your TVs and your Sony Xboxes. So when you factor in that the Mexicans are going to be driving their ramshackle trucks, I don't know if you've ever been to Mexico, but I sincerely invite you to go because it's a beautiful country, but it is a wild west. It's a little out there. I loved it. But some people won't love it because some people won't want a rusty dump truck rolling up through the middle of America and having its brakes fail and fly off the highway and wipe out a school bus. Government says it's okay because it brings us cheaper stuff. Meanwhile, the independent trucker is out there somewhere losing his house. So if they went on strike, you have to remember, I'm trying to bring this all round robin for us. You have to remember that our Congress and our Senate sold us out not too long ago when they gave the president powers that no other president has had in the history of this country. Let's say the truckers did go on strike, and it was so bad, that 10% that nobody thought would be so bad, but let's say that it turned out to be significant to a point where stuff couldn't get across the country. You have to remember, when people are on strike, they have a lot of free time to do things, and the devil works with idle hands. We all know that, and we'll get to that, too. Well, you realize that this is an extreme example, an extreme hypothetical that I'm bringing up to you, but the president could declare those striking truckers enemy combatants because they're doing something against the welfare of the United States. Now, before you go crazy, think about it. The president has that power. And you have to realize that Halliburton's been building private jails for 10, well, for maybe 10 years, at least 7, at least since Bush has been in office. So they got plenty of places to put these people. See, these are the kind of things that we're going to see come to fruition in this country because of this president we have. I didn't vote for him. And I don't wish him any ill will. I really don't. He's just another guy. But these are the kind of things that can happen. Will they happen? I doubt it. Do I stay up at night thinking that these things are going to happen? I don't. But any good lawyer will tell you have to consider the hypothetical in anything before you can make an educated decision about it. Here's one you probably didn't hear about. Maybe you did. Our lawmakers, that would be our Congress and our Senate, got all up in arms this week because they found out that the U.S. military had awarded a $35 billion aircraft deal to Northrop Grumman. Northrop Grumman, everybody knows who they are. They manufacture planes, trains, automobiles. Who knows? Don't really know, because it may have should have gone to Boeing. Because in America, Boeing makes our planes and our trains and our automobiles. I know they don't make trains and automobiles. I'm just saying it because it rolls off the tongue and it's fun to say. It's a great movie, too. Northrop Grumman is a European firm. Now, I can understand why people are upset. That $35 billion that will not go into our economy. Our own government won't even infuse our economy with money. They're going to ship that money over to Northrop Grumman and let them build our planes and our defense systems and stuff. Now, that's almost treasonous. When Bush took the oath of office, you know, there are things that he agreed to in that oath that he's not keeping up his end of the deal. $35 billion to Boeing is, well, it's got to be a lot of money. If I had a business that got $35 billion from the government, I'd be happy. But if I made perfectly good planes, I made perfectly good things that, you know, were proven to be good products, like Boeing planes, and my government just took that money and gave it to a British firm, I'd be beside myself. Maybe Northrop Grumman could give us a better deal. Maybe we get more bang for our buck. But in this country, you have to realize that at some point, you can't get everything for free. Okay? I mean, when you go to the store and you want toilet paper and paper towels, and you go to Walmart because you want to get them for just a little less, that's fine. You know, that's called managing, you know, your budget. That's it. But you have to realize at some point that if you just cheap yourself, or you just constantly going to the lowest bidder, it's going to come around and bite you in the ass. Because as a society, we have to spread the money around. You can't constantly be doing this sort of thing. And this is even worse, because this is money just going right out of the country. It's our own money that should be invested in our country going to a European firm. That's why our economy is in the place where it is today. I mean, you can sit there and say, well, technically it's because people were given bad housing loans, and technically it's because oil is so expensive, gas prices are going up. Oh, remember when the Iraq war was supposed to give us cheaper oil? What an idiot. I knew it wasn't. I'm not saying I'm smarter than you. I'm not talking down to you. But I knew it wouldn't, because it would do excuse me, no firm any good to give you something for much cheaper than what they were charging you for it in the first place. That makes sense, doesn't it? 800-636-1067 if you want to scream at me. Maybe I'm just a little cranky tonight because I've been sick all week. I'm just waiting for the weather to break so that I can enjoy the Mid-Atlantic. And call me from wherever you are and tell me how is it going. How is the economy for you? Like I said, you know, right now my wife and I are doing okay. But if one of us lost our job, that'd be it. A couple of things while I was out this week. Did you hear about the FBI? Yeah, they've been wiretapping you for a few years. They apologized this week. They said they didn't know it was illegal. But now that they know that it's illegal, they'll certainly try to stop. But something tells me that's not going to happen either. Something that happened, a bomb was detonated in Times Square, New York City. Everybody heard about this one. That's an act of terrorism. And you see, we're not running off to invade another foreign country over it. One thing I noticed, did you see the video? I saw the video. Everybody saw it. And that's fine. But I didn't see anybody else on the street. Now, maybe I missed something. You can call and straighten me out. But they showed the bicyclist in the frame of the video. And then they saw, then you saw the explosion. Now, I've been to New York only a couple of times. But one of the times that I was in New York, I was there like 3 or 4 in the morning. I'm not really sure when this explosion went off, but it looked to be early in the morning. Obviously, nobody was in there. But the one thing I noticed about that video is that there's nobody else in it. And at 3 in the morning in New York City, it looks like lunch hour on K Street in Washington. There's people everywhere. Did anybody else notice that? Am I crazy? Anyway, let's go to the phones. David.
Yes, hi.
How are you?
Not too bad. How are you?
I'm.
Yeah, I know. You're
dealing with it.
You got the plague.
I'm happy to have you on, though. What do you got?
Well, what do you want to talk about? I mean, you mentioned Northrop Grumman and that airplane deal, which was kind of interesting. Listen to a little span regarding that.
Did you hear about this?
Yeah, I heard about it.
How did you feel about it?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm not too opposed to it going to Northrop Grumman. They do have U.S. offices, and they have the abilities to do things within the United States. The real issue, though, is that Northrop Grumman chose to use Airbus to build the tankers instead of Boeing.
Aha, uh-huh. See? This is why I invite people to call. You sound like you know a little more about it than I do.
Yeah, I was listening to C-SPAN. They were going over the congressional hearings, and it looked like this was known for a while, which is kind of strange since the outrage only came out a couple of days ago.
Well, that's the thing. These things, and you're going to find out at 10 o'clock when I have my guest on about this memorial to the Flight 93 people. This has been going on, and all of a sudden it crops its ugly head up, and everybody's like, hey, what the hell's going on? So, I mean, that's a failure of our representatives, don't you think?
Well, it is. It was also an issue with the problem of communications with the representatives that really want to do things about it. I mean, another issue is that I'd really love to see addressed at some time is what kind of financial holdings do the people in power really have?
Well, yeah, always follow the money.
Yeah, if you follow the money around, I'm betting that a lot of people that were able to make the yay or nay decision on this have some kind of investment towards Northrop Grumman or Airbus. I mean, these are globally traded organizations or companies.
Obviously.
And, well, I mean, that's basically, you know, these global corporations, again, are really screwing everything up. And
but if you found out that half the Senate had stock in this, it would be just like what they do with Cheney and the Halliburton stock that he owns, but it's diverted, they say, or, you know, he won't be able to profit from it until he's out of office. Well, that's a bunch of BS. We all know that.
Yeah, I mean, really, if you had holdings while you're in office and you have power over it and you know it's going, or at least you can gamble with taxpayer money to make it go up at least 300%, which it has in Cheney's case.
Right.
You know. Sure, yeah, I'll hold on to it and not spend it in that time.
Yeah, yeah, I've heard that his shares are worth about $6 million when he gets out.
I'm not certain what they're worth now. I know that they, at least of what I was reading today, they've gone up at least 300% since he's in office, and he's supposed to be able to get some of them in 2000, starting in 2009. But, I mean, that's ridiculous.
I know, it is. It's commonly known as fraud if you or I do it.
Yeah, exactly.
and we risk going to, well, one of Halliburton's new private jails.
Yeah, precisely.
All right, David, anything else?
Well, I guess the other thing, you were talking about oil earlier, and something I was listening to a little while ago, that oil itself is, actually being traded as a, you know, kind of like a commodity and also kind of like the real estate market. And
well, yeah, that is, and I'm aware of that too. I know that these barrels of oil aren't exactly, it's the speculators.
It's the speculators and people throwing large funds into derivatives and then artificially inflates these prices. And well, I mean, it would be nice if it blows soon, but I mean, really, just on straight world value, I mean, oil should be about $30 a barrel.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. All bubbles burst, and it will burst eventually. That could have a catastrophic effect on our economy. I mean, the housing is already tearing us. If this happens in conjunction with the housing over the next couple of years, I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I mean, our economy is not pegged, our money is not pegged against anything anymore. We're not pegged against a gold standard or anything like that. Everything is floating because people like to gamble with money and basically speculate. I mean, I don't think everyone does. I think there's just enough people at that top maybe 10% of wealth who, you know, can afford to...
The movers and the shakers, quite literally.
Yeah, quite literally. So...
Well, I mean, and that's the thing. I don't know if enough people write. I mean, do you ever write your congressman or your senator?
I write. I call. Email is useless. You know, things like that. As well as I just try to keep as informed as possible. It's ridiculous how little people I associate every day in the D.C. area know about what's going on. I mean, the information's out there. Sometimes you have to look at a foreign country to actually get any information because just some information just doesn't come this way easily.
Well, yeah, and that's the beauty of the Internet, and people should definitely... That's how I found out about this memorial in Shanksville, is I was just farting around the Internet, and it popped up, and I was like, what is this? And you're right. People are not educated, but even worse, they're distracted. You have to remember that when you are hustling it and your gas is threatening to go up to $4 a gallon, you have to start thinking about things other than, you know, who's paying attention to what down on Capitol Hill. You just can't do it. You know, these are distractions. And I am of the belief that they're put there deliberately, pretty deliberately.
I would agree with that. I mean, I really wouldn't even mind paying all the taxes on gasoline if gasoline were priced at it. I mean, if the crude were actually the light crude were delivered at the appropriate price instead of this inflated, speculated price,
right?
Where people are just gambling, saying, "Hey, let's see if we can push it up this high."
Oh, I'm getting angry. All right, David, thanks for the call.
No problem. Get better.
Thank you.
Bye.
So there you go. That's the beauty of Joe Radio. I'm going to take a little break here. Coming up at 10 o'clock, we've got Alec Rawls, and David didn't know about it. I know about it. The controversy surrounding the memorial in Shanksville, Pennsylvania, to honor the Flight 93 victims.
Joe Radio!
Thank you, Charlie. So that's what we're doing tonight. I want to thank people like David for calling in because, you know, I don't profess to know everything. I don't. How could I? I'm an average Joe, quite honestly. But I like people like David calling in. He knows a little bit. I know a little bit. And therefore, you're listening. You might know a little bit. So, Joe Radio, 106.7 WJFK, 800-636-1067. When I get back, I've got a little bit of a mailbag and... I guess we can go through this day in history. I don't know. We'll do something. But 10 o'clock, we've got our guests. So stick around. I'll be right back. Joe Radio.